We welcome everyone. Welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for being with us tonight. This is a church that loves people. All kind of people. All shapes of people. All sizes. Amen. 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 There's only one culture of the kingdom. I know a guy that preached that recently. It's his culture. It's a culture of love. Culture of forgiveness. The good thing is, when nobody remembers what you preach, you can change the title and preach it again. Amen. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, just a few things I want to make mention to you. Men, next week, beginning on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday morning, is our men's conference at Tioga. We would love to see as many that can come join us, even if you can only make one service. We have the dorms that we can stay in, and so you won't need to worry about a place to stay if you want to stay the night. On Friday for lunch, we're going to do boiled crawfish at no expense to you, and so we're just trying to get you there. Amen? So, please let Brother Black know what services you're going to be attending. We're going to cover your registration, and we're going to feed you on that Friday after for lunch. It's always a wonderful time. Also, there's a sign-up sheet. There's actually two sign-up sheets in the foyer. Men, if you're going on our four-wheeler trip, our side-by-side, or whatever you want to drive, we need to know by this weekend how many's going. And so please sign up. Also, our Friends and Family Day is May 19th, and we're ordering T-shirts, and the T-shirts order form is out in the vestibule. And so please help us with that. Amen. This weekend I will be out preaching, but you're going to have a wonderful time in the Holy Ghost. Brother Jamie's going to be preaching that morning. And Pastor Nathan Thornton was going to come down, and he's going to preach for us that night. So I promise you, you don't want to miss this weekend. Amen. I'll be preaching in Houston for a friend of mine. And so pray for us that the Lord would touch us this weekend. Somebody say Legacy Sunday is April 21st. That night, 6 p.m. Please be in prayer for what the Lord would have you to do. Pastor Mark Copeland is going to be preaching for us that night, and I'm just believing for a mighty touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want Brother Tyson to come up here, and I want him to read my scripture for me tonight. And I love this young man. I love all of our young men. We've got a bunch of great aspiring missionaries and evangelists and preachers. And I don't want them to wait until they're in their 20s to get behind the pulpit. So I want Brother Tyson to read our scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9.
God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tyson. God is faithful. Touch your neighbor and say, God's faithful. For my title tonight, I want to preach from that simple phrase, God is faithful. Lord Jesus, we ask tonight for the touch of your Spirit. Over these next few moments, let the wind of the Spirit blow. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon these lips of clay. God, that you would put your thoughts into my mind and out of my mouth, that you would speak to someone here tonight. We thank you for it and we give you praise. Can we clap our hands and worship him? Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated tonight. There is within the deepest parts of man an unspeakable, perhaps subconscious desire for security. This desire for security is often evident in the sense of one wanting to be in control. It's understandable to a degree for a person wanting to be in control, because if If you're not living a life of control, then that would lend one to believe that your life is out of control. And no one wants to live a life that is out of control. This sense of control stems from the fact that Adam and Eve lost what God gave them when they were expelled from the garden. And that was dominion. That was control. God was their original provider. They didn't have to work. They could eat. They could relax. They lived in what is paradise. But when they sinned, they lost their dominion. They lost their control. And the curse was that now you're going to have to work. Now nothing's going to be just given to you. You're going to have to do it of your own hands. Not only did they lose their relationship with the Creator, but they lost what they took for granted, and that was their security. Their sins left them naked, left them exposed, left them vulnerable. And though they didn't realize what was happening at the time, God gave them a sign. It was a foreshadow of what would happen in the future. He slew an innocent animal. He used the hides to cover them. And the blood of that animal was an atonement for their sin. The covering was the provision. The blood was the protection. And the unspoken message God was trying to convey was, regardless of what happens, I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what you do. Now, that was not God saying you can live any way that you want and it's not going to affect our relationship. That was God's mercy trying to speak to a fallen humanity and tell them, you may not be good to me, but I'm going to always be good to you. I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your deliverer. Can I preach to people like Adam and Eve tonight who have messed up and felt like you had to figure it out all on your own? I want to remind you that in spite of what you think, God is still faithful. God is still faithful. You may not feel like God knows or God cares, but I remind you, the book still says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Somebody clap your hands and give God praise. Not only does God know, but God cares. He cares for your future. He cares for your family. He cares for your finances. He cares for every aspect of your life. We get into places in life where we feel like we have to figure it out and do it all by ourselves. And when we get in that place, we think that we are the sole provider of our own security. How much money can we save? How much food can we put up? How much can I do to build me a fortress that is impenetrable to the cares of this world? Everything becomes about what we can do. Hear me when I say, we've all experienced the betrayal or the letdown of a friend. And we become callous to those who we thought we could trust. And when that happens, we then become more dependent upon our own ability and our own value, and we become self-centered. But I want to remind somebody today that people may let you down, jobs may let you go, friends may leave you hanging, and family may fall away, but God, somebody shout, but God. Let me tell you about this God. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a rest wherewith ye may cause the
you're weary to rest. He's a rock in your wilderness. He's a light in your night. He's a peace in your storm. Let me point your attention back to the one who is faithful. Somebody shout, he's faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He would not call you if he couldn't take care of you. God's reward is not from starting something, but from finishing something. You don't get pleasure from starting something. The reward is finishing something. Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God does not just want to fill you with his spirit and bathe you in his blood. He wants to transform your life. His goal is to get you to be like him. How does that happen? You got to look at it this way. Living for God is not coming and laying $1,000 on a one-time deposit and I'm done. But you turn that $1,000 into quarters and it's daily using a quarter here and a quarter there. Being like Christ here. Being like, you're going to pay the same price, but God doesn't want you at one time to do it. He wants you daily to do it. And by the end of your life, you'll pay the same price, but he wants you to do it daily. He wants, Paul said, I got to die daily. Our spiritual growth is not based upon just how good we can be, but how faithful God is. Because if he stopped being faithful, then it wouldn't matter how good we were. Because we're not good enough to make it to heaven. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way we can grow is there has to be grace given to us by a faithful God. If he removed grace, then we would face judgment. But because he's faithful, he told Paul, Paul said, I'm struggling, God. I prayed 3 times for this thorn in the flesh. Whatever it was, there's all kind of debates, but nonetheless, we can conclude that there was something in Paul's life that God was not getting rid of, but he was leaving it in place. And he said, Paul, I got to leave this thing in your life, but you trust me, Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. For at your weakest moment, you'll find my greatest strength, because I'm faithful, Paul. I'm faithful to you. Perhaps Abraham said it best when talking to the Lord in Genesis 18 and 27. The magnitude of what God was wanting to do in Abraham's life was almost overwhelming. And Abraham responded, I am but dust and ashes. Hear me, on our best day, we're nothing but dirt bags. God knows that we can't do it without him. So he steadily and readily shows up to help us make it on our journey. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7 and 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. Friend, don't you worry about falling down, because you're never going to hit rock bottom. You'll hit the hands of God before you hit rock bottom. And God's saying, I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful to you. I've come to remind somebody today, he's a faithful. Somebody shout, he's faithful. God is faithful to forgive. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Watch this. You don't get leftover mercy. You don't get, I didn't use all, I was good on Monday. I had some extra mercy that I didn't use. We're going to roll that over like comp time for Tuesday, because I might have a bad day Tuesday. We don't like leftovers. I went to a barbecue place one time. Everybody raved about this barbecue place. It was in a little town. It was in a not desirable part of the community. But hey, you'll go places for food, okay? So I went. Me and my dad years ago. It was a little shack. Had a little bar, not a bar, but a bar that they served, that they took your order and you stood at. Well, the door was right there in the middle, but it was no door. It was just an open case opening. And there was the kitchen. And everybody talked about it. So I looking at the menu, and I said, Dad, I don't know what I want. Maybe some chicken or whatever. And we were the first customers. You don't go be the first customer and think you're going to get it fresh. You got to go about 12:30, because they're serving leftovers. And I said, do y'all have some chicken? She was in the kitchen. She opened that fridge. She goes, yeah, we got some. I looked at my dad. I said, we ain't eating here. That's old chicken. I want it coming so hot off the pit, you can barely touch it. Let me tell you about God's mercy. You don't have to measure it up and worry about it. I use it all the day before. Is it going to roll over? Because when you open your eyes, you got brand new mercy. Hey, it doesn't matter. God says this is a new day. And the reason you didn't die is because my compassion stopped you from being consumed. I'm telling you, friend, he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. It doesn't matter what you did. He can forgive you. He can give you a brand new start. See, I think we've got God all messed up in our minds. Let me tell you, everybody's got their own perception of God. And I promise you that everybody's wrong. Because we can't fathom the magnitude of God. God's not some tyrant waiting to execute vengeance and judgment on you. You got to think of God as a father. We touched the heart of some dads here today. When it's your child, you got a lot of mercy compared to other people's children. It's their identity that tugs at your heartstrings. You can take two kids, do the exact same thing. One of them you're going to have a little more mercy on, because their identity, that's your child. The Bible says the Lord is merciful in Psalm 103:8, and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto People are born and people die. But let me tell you what's not going to fall away. It's the mercy of God. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I had a prostitute one time at an altar. That story started off bad. That's one of those I'll get a video clip of a sermon taken out of context. There was a lady praying at an altar who I heard was a prostitute. Lord knows my heart. And she said, "You don't know what I've done." I said, "Ma'am, it doesn't matter to me, and it doesn't matter to God. We got to get over this mindset of my sin. If you think your past can't be forgiven, then you're saying that your problem is greater than God's power and that what you've done is more powerful than his blood. But I want you to know that his blood reaches to the highest mountain. It still flows to the lowest valley. And there ain't a sin-stained heart that when it touches, that it can't turn whiter than snow and give you a brand new start." Oh, somebody worship him for that blood tonight. Let me tell you what sin God can't forgive. The one that you don't confess. There's people, let me tell you something. Bible says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You don't have to confess your faults to me. You don't have to confess your sin to me. You got an altar. And that altar is not a piece of furniture necessarily. It's wherever you talk to God and you open up your heart and you pour it out before God. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me also say today that God is faithful to deliver, because the Bible says there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with that temptation will also make a way of escape. My friend, you need to understand that God is looking out for your best interest, and he is poised and ready to forgive and to wipe away your sin and to give you a brand new start. He's faithful. My goodness, he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful. He's faithful to heal. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Not only does God forgive, but he's faithful to heal. Those 39 stripes were not in vain. God's healing is not wishy-washy. He bore the infirmities of the world. The Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want you to know, ma'am and sir, the healing power of God is not confined to regions. It's not confined to pedigree, social status, or all such as like that. But whosoever calls on his name, God's ready to heal. God's ready to touch. God's ready to perform. You don't have to stand at this altar to be healed. You don't have to be at a Pentecostal church to be healed. Can I mess with some of our theology that God only shows up at Pentecostal churches? Now, I know we use cliche. God showed up. God was here before we got here. How can you show up somewhere when you fill all space and time? There's not a place where there's an absence of God or a void, because God fills everything. When we say God showed up, what we're saying is God is moving and honoring our faith. But He'll do that anywhere there's a hungry heart. God will honor somebody's faith. That woman came to Him and said, "Lord, my daughter, I need you to touch my daughter." And the Bible says He answered her not a word. Now, we would backslide if Jesus treated us like that. I mean, cold shoulder, ignore. She brought her problem first. She needed God's healing. And the disciples, "Get her out of here. Get her out of here." Jesus said, "Woman, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not meet to cast it to dogs." So now He's calling her a dog. I mean, she didn't backslide first. That second, that left hook got her. He called me a dog? I'm out of here. Forget shaking hands. He called me a dog. She had two choices. She could accept it as fate and her daughter wouldn't be healed. Or she could change her approach. And so instead of bringing her problem, she changed her praise. And the Bible said she fell down at His feet and began to worship Him. And it didn't matter that she wasn't a Jew. It didn't matter that she didn't go to the right church. Something tugged at God's heartstrings. And He stopped and said, "Look at that. I know I'm not supposed to have anything to do with her right now. But I got to move on her behalf because she's hungry. And she's reaching out." And so healing flowed to that daughter. I'm telling you today, ma'am or sir, if you'll stop bringing your problem and you'll start bringing your praise, it might be that you activate something in the spirit world. "Thank you for healing me, God. Thank you for taking care of my need. Thank you for showing up and showing out." He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to heal. He's faithful to deliver. But He's also faithful to His word. Can I preach to someone tonight who's listening to voices from the enemy planting seeds of doubt in your mind? Don't judge God's faithfulness by what you see on the outside. Because when God gave Abraham a word, "I'm going to give Sarah a child." Watch this. This makes me feel better about myself. Not only, Brother Spanky, did Abraham laugh. The Bible said he fell down and laughed. Get a mental picture. He's laughing hysterically in the face of God. Then, when Sarah heard it, she laughed. Think about it. Yet, in spite of their reaction. Now, let me tell you, if I'd have been God, it'd have never made it to Sarah. When I saw Abraham laid out on the ground laughing at me, changed my mind. Not with you, Abe. Ain't doing it. I'm talking about if I was God. Because think about it. You're fixing to change somebody's whole lineage. Something bigger than their mind could ever imagine. And they laugh in your face. If we were the ones that was playing God, change my mind, buddy. Keep laughing. But but God's faithful. And God is faithful in spite of our unbelief, in spite of our actions. And I'm preaching to people tonight that God has given you a word and you've all but stepped all over it, all over the ground, because you can't see how it's ever going to come to pass. I got a word for you tonight. In spite of how you received it or you reacted, God's looking at you going, that ain't changed my mind about what I'm going to do for you. I'm still going to perform. I'm still going to bring it to pass, because your lack of faith is not going to determine my faithfulness. I'm a faithful God. I'm still going to bless. I'm still going to perform. I've come to resurrect a word that's been laying dormant for so long. You don't see how it's going to happen. My friend, I want you to know that the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. He's never wrote a check that he couldn't cash. He's never given a word that wouldn't come to pass. Here's the beauty of it. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, I don't know how this is going to happen. God, I don't understand. But I've weighed it all out. And I've judged. My verdict is that if he gave it, he's going to do it. Don't you listen to the lie of the enemy. Don't you listen to a word. Listen to me. There's been things God shown me years and years ago, and I went, God, I don't know how that's ever going to happen. It seems absurd. I don't know how it's ever going to come to pass. But here's the beauty of it. I don't have to understand it for God to do it. I don't have to be able to put the pieces of the puzzle to do together. All I've got to do is reach a verdict, and that is he's faithful. He's faithful. That's my verdict. He's a faithful God. I'm judging him faithful, and so I'm going to walk on my word. Somebody needs to make that declaration in your spirit. God is faithful. Stand with me right now all over this building and give God praise. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You got to get it tonight. Because here is the beauty of it all. Our faithfulness does not dictate his faithfulness. Because starting right here, everybody here, God's been more faithful to you than you've been to him. And God's saying, I know you're having a rough day. I know you're not on your mountain where you want to be. I know there's been seasons of your life where you felt more close to me than you've ever been before, and you're not in one of those seasons. But that's all right. I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful to you. I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm as close as the mention of my name. I'm faithful to you. Why is he so faithful? Because I told you at the beginning, God's objective is for us to become like him. That's it. For us to become like him. Revelation 19:11, as the musicians come. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, He doth judge and make war. Revelation 17 and 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen, right? That means the call goes to everybody. But few choose to respond to the call. But those that make it to that scripture, they're not just called, they're not just chosen, but they've become like him. His name is faithful. They're faithful. It doesn't happen overnight. It's that 25 cents at a time. Stop putting $1,000 on the altar. It's putting 25 cents at a time doing what God wants you to do. Faithful. God is faithful. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. I may be preaching just to me. But there's time this old boy right here needs to be reminded that God's a faithful God. He's got so much love. He's got so much mercy. I'm preaching to people tonight that feel like maybe you've done too much. There's no way that God could ever bring you back into the fold. I want to remind you, the book says that shepherd left the 99 because he was reaching for one. That's the heart of a shepherd. He sees that one that's not where it needs to be. These are fine right here. I got my eyes on that one. Hear me tonight, ma'am or sir. The eyes of the good shepherd are looking at that one that feels like they're struggling. That one that feels like their prayers aren't being answered. That one that feels like they've made too many mistakes. And he's here tonight to tell you he's faithful. He's faithful. I open these altars tonight. Why don't we come? Let's just come and respond to the call of God in our hearts tonight.